be coming up and speaking to us. First of all, he is a fellow brother in Christ. Worships right over the hill here at Hammer Creek Mennonite Church. He's a very close neighbor to us, just right up the road there in Penryn. He is the executive director at Teen Central, the youth center in Mannheim. I do believe that God is opening doors in Mannheim. And Rose is a big part of what he does. I know she is. Had a very difficult point in her life several years ago, and somehow God has redeemed that.
I'm hooked up here. Good morning. Thank you for having us here. This reminds me, when I was a kid, I went to Miners Village Mennonite Church, and that was an outreach of our Herbs Mennonite and I think a couple other churches in the Mannheim area. So what I'm seeing here is something that I experienced growing up as a kid. So it's very interesting, and may God bless you as you continue to do this outreach, and I think it's probably one of the most important things that we need to do today in Lancaster County is outreach, which I'll talk a little bit about that. As Sean introduced me and Rose, we live here in Penryn. Is there any other place to live? I'm not sure. I call Penryn a stick plum town. Stick your head out the window, you're plum out of town. It's a great place to live, good community to be in. And thoroughly enjoy that. A little bit about us, we have two boys. Richard, he's in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a chef. And Ryan died in a car accident in 2010 when he was 23 years old. So that's our family. Ryan was a kind of guy that reached out to people. He was very, very good at that. Very good at reaching out to people that nobody else would touch, that we would even look at. I know Rose said one day to him, I'm a little concerned about the friends you're keeping, that you have, that you're hanging out with. He said, Mom, they want to be more like me than me like them, which was absolutely true. Ended up that one of the guys that he hung out with was Andrew Reiner, a guy that grew up in a very dysfunctional home, unbelievable. But anyhow, Ryan, just make it real short, Ryan stuck with him and took him to church, and Andrew accepted the Lord. And I believe Ryan was probably Andrew's only real friend he ever had in his life. And when he died, he kind of lost his way. And next thing we knew, he had a girlfriend. She was 16 years old. Next thing we knew, she was pregnant. And Rose and I thought, well, how are we going to interact with that if he comes around again? And it wasn't too long till he did. I think Lacey was, 3 days old when they showed up, and had a wonderful conversation. At the end, they asked us if we would be grandparents to their kids. And we said, yes. And so today, there's two of them now. It's Lacey and Gabriel. And Gabriel carries Ryan's middle name. And so it's a lot of fun. Talking about Scott here just a little bit, I work with him at the polls when it comes election time. And Rose had the kids for a little bit because Emma was working. And Lacey kept asking where I was, because she couldn't believe that I wouldn't be there. And we live right next to Mel and Brian Miller. And Brian was down working in his barn. And she was sure that I was down in the barn. Rose says, no, Grandpa wasn't here. She says, well, it sounds like Grandpa, but she didn't see me. So it's really great, in that respect, working with them and just having these kids. And just really, they really bring a lot of joy into our lives. So, Yeah, Richard is not married, and he says he's never getting married, so, okay. So that takes care of that. Okay. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about TC here this morning, and then I will have a question-answer time, because I heard you're very interactive, and that's good news to me, because I enjoy that. The other thing I do want to say is I am delighted that Sean is on my board of directors. He's actually the president of our organization. Him and I are completely opposite. I talk a lot and I'm loud. And Sean is quiet and doesn't talk a lot. But when he does say something, it's worthwhile. And I really appreciate that, because when it comes to just all kinds of things, he thinks about things, he really prays about things, and he's very much an encourager. And many times he'll call me, "Hey Randy, how's it going? What's happening?" So on and so forth. So I love it. It's so good. It's so good for me. I do have a little passage of scripture we're going to talk about, just not real long, and it just relates to it's from Isaiah 58, and the subtitle, it says, "True or False Worship." And so it just talks about, God talks in the first five verses about, you know, what you're doing and how you're worshiping and so on and so forth. It's just very interesting if you read that. And it talks again about fasting and that type of thing. So I'm going to start at verse 6. There's two pieces here I want to talk about, just real quick. And it says in verse 6, "This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. And give clothes to those that need them." I'm going to break it. I'm going to stop right there at that point. When you look at this first part, as we look at how we relate to mankind and human beings today, the Christian church is very, very good at this first part. What did we do? We're out in the missions fields. We're helping. We're doing all kinds of stuff away from our hometown. We're really, really good at that. One thing about the Christian church, we're very, very good at crisis intervention, but we are not very good at discipleship. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, let's look at the last part of this. It says, "And do not hide from relatives who need your help." Isn't that interesting? I take that piece as, let's take your relatives as your own hometown. Don't hide from your relatives that need your help. It's very intriguing. I'm a part of the Mannheim Ministerium, and when I took over in August of 14, I had some involvement with the kids. I went to Mannheim, went to the Ministerium, and I said, "I have a question." I said, "We have a church on every street corner and one in every cornfield around town, and I have the most godless kids you ever saw." I said, "What's the problem? Where's the problem lie?" And I said, "Where in the Great Commission was Mannheim missed? The Bible says you go into all the world." And what are we thinking about? The world? We think, basically, what do we think about as the world? We think outside of where we live. Well, we have a tremendous problem in our own hometown. It is probably as bad or worse than what it is out there in the world today. Because I can tell you, I meet with other teen centers, and what they tell you, what's happening in Mannheim is happening in them. And unbelievably or not, right down the road in the town of Ephrata, we have kids living in the sewers of that town. Now that's really hard to believe, but that's what's happening. Let's get back to Teen Central. Teen Central is a place for kids to come out and hang out. What we are working at is making this their family. Here is your family. We have kids coming into Teen Central that are strictly fighting to survive. That's it. They don't have food. They don't have family that loves them or supports them. And they are fighting to survive. So they do not know the basics of life. They know Turkey Hill and Twinkies. That's what they know when it comes to food. They do not know what good food is. And Rose, she will come in and make food sometimes. And it's more than not, they're coming in, well, what is that? And it's food that you and I eat every day. And they know nothing about it. They know nothing about discipline. They know nothing about getting along with each other. It's very interesting how this is all working as I look at these kids. And it is very, very a disturbing thing to look at. We have not only that this generation of kids, but their parents also lost in the fray. And most of them don't know anything about God. And I don't even think they understand that swearing, you know, it's just something that they absolutely do, just how it is. And so I realized at this point, you know, it's one, I had the privilege of going over to Manheim Christian Day School yesterday, and they had a fundraiser, and I had breakfast there. And I sat beside this little old lady from White Oak Church of the Brethren, Mrs. Grable, her name is, and I believe she's wrapping up close to 100. But anyhow, and she knew me, she knew my grandpa, she knew my great-grandpa, and my great-great-grandfather. She actually heard him preach in German. So that tells you how old she is. So it was very interesting. I loved it. It was good. And then I was telling her, she asked what I do, and well, guess what? I'll tell you what I do. And she says, oh my, they need to go to Sunday school, you know. And here's this beautiful little old lady that has an answer that is so far off to the right for today, for what we're working with today. And I agreed with her. I didn't even go into any details with her. But the thing is that we're experiencing at Teen Central is this. You know, the people come in, volunteers come in, they want to tell them about Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. Number one, they don't even know what love is. And so it starts with building a relationship with these kids, of them coming in, of them knowing, of them being able to talk with you, to share, just sit down and talk with them, play volleyball, do whatever. We do all kinds of stuff at Teen Central. We have all kinds of games and stuff like that. So this is the basic thing that we're looking at. What some of the other issues that we're facing, these kids have tremendous stress in their lives. They are dealing with adult situations. We have kids at Teen Central that are actually managing their parents. It's really unbelievable to look at. On Friday, my secretary and one of my board members and myself went to a seminar put on by Phil Haven for mental health of youth. And it was just very intriguing to me to listen to what she had to say and then think about what my kids are doing at Teen Central. And so it just gave us a tremendous understanding of what's going down and how it's working. We actually had one girl that threatened to commit suicide, and we did take her to Phil Haven. So we did have that privilege of doing that. So this is the kind of thing we're working at. We are cooking with these kids. We started cooking classes, boys and girls. It's amazing to look at. So we're starting to cook with them. They are doing crafts with them. We do Bible study one night a week, and that's on a Tuesday night. We started doing that, but a lot of times it's basically just reaching out to the kids. One thing that I really did notice when I as I started into my year there in August of 14 is these kids had their cell phones. They're always, you know, doing this. Well, I was born in 1957, so there you go. And I don't understand that stuff, you know, like I should. But my volunteers were telling me, yeah, they're bullying each other on their cell phones. They're, you know, right in our teen center. And I'm like, uh-uh, not in my time. We're not going to do that. So along with my volunteers I came up with a plan of the kids must turn their cell phones in when they come in to Teen Central. Because to learn to relate to you, they don't know how to relate to each other. They know how to talk to you on your phone, but they don't know how to relate to you. So I said, now we started 4 months before we put it into action. Every week we told them, okay, this is the date that you're going to be turning your cell phones in. Did we lose a couple because of that? Yes, we did. But the result that I really wanted, I got. What I wanted was them to be able to come in and to interact with each other. We need to play games together. We need to do board games together. We need to do talking together. And we are now a year out on that, and that's working very, very, very well. The thing I did not pick up or did not expect was at the time frame when I came into the teen center, we had three TV screens and games, Xbox, PlayStation, and Wii, I think it was. Within 4 to 5 months after we initiated turning in the phones, they were no longer asking to play games on the screens. Very interesting. And so, which I was totally delighted. So when we renovated, I never put them back up. And they don't ask for them today. So they come in, they turn their cell phones in. We have a system, they get a number. One gets put on their phone, gets put safely away, and then they have their evening and the time frame are there, and then they get them when they get back. So that's been very, very good. The other result of that is, well, when they're not preoccupied with their phones, guess what you do when you interact with people? You fight. You know, you get into fights. Well, you know, what we've discovered is it's not so much what happened right there, it's what happened at school, it's what happened at home that's creating a lot of this type of thing. So we created a 1, 2, 3 year out program. I'm not really interested in, unless you do something very off the wall, I'm not very interested in throwing kids out in the street. So we created the 1, 2, 3 is, if you have an infraction, with another kid, we will, as volunteers, we will take them both aside, sit down, talk to them, talk about what happened, and then give them the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. And boy, is that ever strange. They don't understand that either. They'd rather beat you up instead. And so, and then it's written up. We have papers we fill out and it's written up. And then after 3 infractions, then we decide you have to be out for a week or whatever that might be. So that's been working out very, very well as far as being able to communicate with these kids. And this is what they're really starting to learn. And there are some evenings they don't even play games. We just sit around and talk. And it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Here's something that's very, very interesting. I get youth groups that want to come in and help. When we tell them that they need to turn their cell phones in, I might as well send them home. Because they don't know what to do without their cell phones. And I realize, uh-oh, we have the same problem right there. They don't know how to communicate without using their cell phones. So very interesting. So anyhow, so that's just a little piece of what's happening as far as the relational part thing goes. We also another piece of it that we are working on is relating to their parents. You really wonder what's happening with these kids. Why do they do what they do? And I discovered that once you get to learn or at least communicate with the parents at a certain point, you will understand why their kids do what they do. The nut don't fall far from the tree. And I discovered that we have another major crisis right there. And so we get to see, we have parents, especially the one kid, mother comes in drunk, to pick her kid up. She drives, and so it puts us in a quandary. We, as being responsible, we need to report her. The other piece of that is, if we do that, then they're going to take that kid and put him in a system somewhere, and then we don't have him. So what do you do? So there's a lot of tough decisions that we have to make. The other thing that's starting to happen, I know I did talk to Sean a little bit about it, but we are starting to get adults coming to us for help. And we're a youth center. We're not, we're not really that. We just had one again on Friday night. Somebody brought an adult to us. Can you help her? And so I'm like, and this was a Mennonite lady that brought her to us, okay? And my thought was, why did they come to us first? Why did they not go to the church? And not to be unkind, but I think the church today is asleep at the switch when it comes to your down into your community. That you're seeing tremendous issues, and I think it's good, what we have, the traditions we've had, the things that we've grown up with are important, very important for the stability of the church. But sometimes I wonder what our real calling is when it comes down to our communities and what we work with. And the face of Mannheim is changing. Tremendous amounts of other nationalities coming into Mannheim. And one of the big ones, I think it's coming up, is going to be the Muslims that we're going to have to deal with, these kids. And so we are trying to prepare ourselves for how we're going to, handle this in a Christian manner. So there's all those kinds of things going on in a teen center. And I should have told you this, we're open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Fridays right now. Monday and Wednesday, it's 3:30 to 5:30, and Tuesdays and Fridays, it's 7 to 9. As a director, I am putting forth huge efforts to build relationships with the powers that be in Mannheim, the police department, the borough, the school district. All these people are affected or have an effect on the kids and what we do. The thing I find very intriguing, we have the school, we have the police, we have this and that, we have Teen Central, we have the churches. Everybody points fingers at everybody else because of the problems. You don't do this right. You don't do that right, And I'm like, no. We all need to work together to make it work right. Everybody has a piece. Everybody has a piece, a part to play. So I am building relationships with everybody and starting to, that's starting to work very well for me so I can, get more support, get more help for these kids. When it comes to the educational part, when it comes to the school part, I did Sue Center. I don't know if you know Sue Center from Mannheim Central, but she works with the kids a lot. She came in, sat down with us, and says, hey, how can we work together? And so we are starting to do that. Interestingly, we have an eighth grade girl coming to Teen Central that's on a second grade reading level. Very interesting to watch. Now, who do we point fingers at? I say, no, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm going to the school district. I'm saying, hey, what can we do here to help her? How can we at Teen Central help these kids that are coming to us, that are becoming part of our family? How can we move them on? Just to give you just an insight on a little bit how these kids think today, I had the one church, St. Paul's United Church of Christ, does a breakfast every third Saturday morning. Free. If you're hungry, go out there. It's great. It's good food. So we take the kids and go out. and had breakfast there. One morning we were there, and Mrs. Ball and I were sitting at a table, and there was a bunch of kids over at the other table. All at once, Mrs. Ball got hit by a jelly bomb. Here the kids were taking the little smucker packs of jelly, putting them on the table, and then going, wham! And jelly would fly everywhere. And so, you know, we had to tell them, hey, listen, you can't be doing that. And then a couple days later, I took these two boys upstairs and just sat down and talked with them and just talking to them about respect and how to, you know, this kind of thing. They have no idea. They have no clue that this is the kind of thing. And I said, if you don't learn this kind of thing, learn to respect, learn to be civil, so to speak, what do you think is going to happen to you when you are an adult and you continue this trend? You know what they said to me? We're going to jail. And they were grinning like Cheshire cats. There was no doubt in their mind that they knew that they're going to jail. I said, what if I can offer you an alternative to that? And they said, yeah, they're open to that. And so we're working with those kids today, and they are doing a lot better. So it's very interesting to listen to them and hear how they're thinking and what they're, you know, what they're saying. I spend this weekend with Gospel Express ushering, and it's just quite intriguing how the Christian populace will pour millions of dollars in to that, but are their neighbors right next door going to hell in a handbasket and they're doing nothing? Now, I know these guys real well at Run Gospel Express, and they know what I do. I said, my goal is to run you out of business. Keep people out of jail if we can, what we can do. And so this is the things that we're working with today. It's not fun. It's not fun. It is stressful. As I meet with once a month, the teen centers from all over get together and talk. And you know what? We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. And, you know, the thing is, these kids, you know, it's a problem with free will at Teen Central and most other places. You can come and go as you want. You sign in, but then when you leave, you sign out, and then you're gone for the night. You can't come back in. Free will, it's just a little discouraging sometimes because, you know, you want to reach these kids and you know, if they don't want to be there, they don't have to be there, you know, and that's a little bit the way it is. Because you do, I think what it is a lot of times with my volunteers, I get a lot of people that get fired up and want to volunteer, and then when it gets down to the wire, you don't see them. And I understand that. But a volunteer comes in, they're fired up, I am going to help these kids. Well, these kids don't know who you are, and they're very suspicious of you, okay? So what does that do? Here you are, oh, I'm giving my time, I'm trying to help, and now here they don't even want to bother with me. And that's true, and it gets discouraging. But the thing is, it has to be on a consistent basis. They know nothing of stability. They know nothing of being able to go home and mom or dad's going to be there. I have one kid that he has to be out in the street till 11 because his mother's out drinking and he can't get in the house. It's just, you know, it's just this constant type of thing. And so if they can't connect with people that are going to give them stability, they really don't want to have anything to do with you. It's just how it operates. And so this is the kind of thing at Teen Central that we're trying to give them. Our ultimate goal is to give them Jesus Christ. And but they do not understand God. They do not understand the love of God because they don't understand human love. They don't know anything about it. And so and we all know, I think Mary, talking to Mary here a little bit this morning. Oh, she's my neighbor too, by the way. And anyhow, it's just like a baby. You know, if you don't train a child, you're not going to learn anything. Okay? And so we're down to the wire where we're giving these kids the basics of life, giving them stability in that, and then feeding Jesus through that. Some days, these kids only see Jesus through us, through food. I had a kid come in one day, and he sat over in a corner. He's like 10 years old, and he's holding his stomach. And I asked him, I went over and talked to him, and asked if he's sick. He said, no, I'm hungry. Now, being that the school district feeds kids thus, in, you know, it's in segments. And sad to say, some of it's only 10 o'clock in the morning, and they get nothing the rest of the day. And if they don't got anything at home, they're not really eating. Well, this kid comes in hungry. He says, I haven't eaten since 10 o'clock. I said, well, when we serve food tonight, I said, I want you to eat as much as you want. Eat up, my friend, you know. And you should see this, these kids. And I'm talking from 10 years old up to 18, some 18-year-olds. They eat like they haven't eaten in weeks. And you just see this. Next night, little guy comes in again, same thing. And I saw him doing it. And I said, hey, eat up. So he ate up. And then I said, I took him outside. I parked my truck at a certain place all the time. Does anybody know at the when the Queen is in her residence? Do you know, what's the sign? That the Queen of England is in her residence.
There's a flag.
Yep. There's a flag flying over her residence. That's how you know she's in. I said to him, I want to tell you something. I said, if you're coming down the street and you see my truck sitting here and Teen Central's not open, I said, you come up to the office. If you're hungry, I said, and you and I will go downstairs and feast. I said, I will give you food. And so this is the kind of thing that you know, and they look at you in total wonderment that, you know, that you would do that. Now, what's happening as we look at food, okay? We do have some churches periodically that bring in food for an evening. They'll just make like casseroles, whatever they make, and bring it in. And so it's good brethren and Mennonite cooking. You know, I'm like, woohoo, this is good stuff. And the kids are really, really starting to enjoy that type of thing. The Sweet Spot down at Roots Country Market, if you ever heard of the Sweet Spot, it's a bakery. They bring us cookies every week, cookies and cupcakes and all that kind of stuff. And these kids are like, whoom, when they come in, because they'll come in like 7, 8 o'clock on Tuesday nights when we're open, and those kids are out there bringing the stuff in, and they're eating away. So it's just really, really, really good to see that, and you know, and have that type of thing. So, meeting the needs of the kids on a physical level, and then transferring that to a spiritual level. We started doing a Bible study. How it actually works is we'll do like a 5-minute video or something, and then they'll talk about something, and then we'll stop it, and then they'll sit and talk with the kids. And it started out, we had out of the maybe 20 or so, we had 2 kids the first time. Hey, that's what we had, so you teach them. Next time it was more, And I think the last time there was about 15 or so there. The interaction time. We started out with like 15 minutes, and then got to a half hour. Now we're just about ready to start with an hour's time. So what we do, we have play time, hangout time, and then now we're going to have Bible study. If you want to be at Bible study, that's great. If you don't, you must leave. And so it's starting to really work that way. And what's happening is we give these kids, we just don't sit there and the Bible says da 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 da. We throw questions out to them and then let them talk. And it is amazing to hear what they ask and how they, you know, and how they talk to you. So it's just an ongoing thing of it's very complicated, I would say, in just working with these kids. And every kid is different. Every kid is different. And the beautiful thing is, or that I really like seeing, and my volunteers are telling me, is that these kids are, as they're becoming more and more comfortable with whoever they hook up with. A kid, if you come in as a volunteer, eventually one of these kids will hook up with you, and they'll be looking for you when you come in. That's how they do, because they desperately want somebody to be their parent. You actually become like parents to these kids, that, you know, and then they come and tell you what's happening. You know, one kid came to me and said, "Do you help families?" You know, this is so interesting. You know, these, they come, "Do you help families?" And so they need money. I said, "Do you need food? What do you need?" "No, we don't need food. We got this card, access card or whatever. We need money to help pay some bills. My stepfather's going, having a back surgery, and he won't be able to work, and you know, and we're getting behind." And you see what I'm saying? You're looking at 13-year-olds that are worried about the bills at home. Which one of you sitting here do that? Do you kids do that? You worry about if the bill's being paid? No, you don't. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. But these kids do. And just puts this tremendous pressure on them. And so I am working through the Mana Ministerium. We'll be able to help them out in a certain way there. So it's just all these things, it's nothing stable. And so this is what we're trying to create at Teen Central. This is what every center is trying to do with their kids. And it's just, yeah, just unbelievable that we have got to this state in our town. And well, you know, I zero in on Manheim. And I think the bigger part of that is that we need to truly, as Christians and as adults, be aware of what's happening in your town and become involved. It's very important to be involved. You know, I think of it, and I think we can apply it the same way. Faith without works is dead. I look a little bit as in voting. Now, I work with Scott in voting. I love it. It's so good. And I think about that, and I listen to the people that cry and moan about who's in office, but yet they won't vote. It's very interesting to me. Very interesting to me. That, you know, and so it's the same way with what we're working with today. There needs to be action. There needs to be help. Not everybody can help in the same way. That's a fact. I know Mrs. Ball, she helps, but she can get pretty wary in a hurry with some of these kids. You know, she'd rather work with a lot younger kids than what we, you know, than what we work with a little bit more. So everybody has their gift. That's the thing that I look at. I do not look at people and say, "You don't volunteer." You know, it might not be your gift. But the thing that I would challenge you on is find out what your gifts are and exercise them in behalf of what we're doing. This is what we do with the kids. You know what? I don't have bad kids. I have kids that are not loved, that don't know love, and they're smart. They are very smart. They are very gifted, these kids. What you got to do is find out what that is. And some of the things that we do is that we find out what these kids like to do. What do you like to do? What's your dreams? What do you want to be? I have a guy, actually, I have about a 14-year-old kid that is an unbelievable mechanic. And I am looking for somebody to take this kid over the summer and get him involved in mechanics. He will turn out to be a top-notch dude, but he needs that opportunity. It's very interesting. You look in the school, our kids, they go to school, they take part in whatever it might be, band, whatever it is. These kids are good kids, but don't have that opportunity. So we have labeled them good kids, bad kids. But they aren't bad kids. They're kids that need direction. And once that has happened, they will become very, very useful citizens and be very be able to help their peers. We just had a girl come in. She brought her baby brother in the other day. She was babysitting her brother. By the way, we have strollers and walkers and stuff at Teen Central for little ones. And it's very, very good. We have some volunteers that come in that bring their families in. We have a youth pastor from a New Life Fellowship up in Colebrook Street. New Life is down there on Route 30, 340, I believe. Anyhow, they took over the church on Colebrook Street, and the pastor and the youth pastor came to us and says, how can we help at Teen Central? And so that's a loaded question, you know, how can you help? Because, you know, to fit in. Well, Justin persisted, and he is now part of the team. Him and his wife and his three little kids are coming in twice a week. So thus, walkers and little tykes. But it's very interesting with these kids. They love these little kids. They pick these kids up. They hold these kids. And they see a family unit. They see a family. Oh, wow, there is something to this. I know some of our volunteers will discreetly take kids along home sometimes, like over the weekend or something. Not over the weekend, but like for a Saturday to their homes. And they told me that these kids will just sit there and stare. They can't believe that there's houses like this, that things are in order and things are not chaotic. And father is there, or mother is there. They can't fathom it. They just simply can't fathom it. So there's so many avenues that we work with, along with Teen Central and that type of thing. So that's where we're at. That's what we're doing. Hey, we can always use volunteers. Oh, I do need to tell you this. Very exciting news from the Mother Church. You're from Chickies, right? We have 10 volunteers coming from Chickies. They're going to be starting, I think, this month. I did not get to meet them yet. Brendan, my secretary, did. So there's going to be 10, and I'm not sure the age group, but I am very excited about that. That they're saying, hey, we want to come help. Hey, it's a couple hours a week, however that works. And so this is the kind of thing that I'm trying to get the churches to see. Hey, we have a responsibility as a church to our communities, to reach out to our communities. Missions outside of our town is important. I served 5 years with Orphan Resources. We worked in Guatemala. We had 49 orphanages, 3,000 kids, putting out 14 tons of food a month. It's very good. It's very needed. And I might as well just tell you this. One thing about the Guatemalans, there is a very J.O. Christian group down there, but their thinking is, if you were born poor or born rich, that's where God wants you, and you don't mess with it. And so they don't help. And I got very angry about that, because there's lots of money in Guatemala, believe it or not. Lots of money. And one time I was a little not too happy, should I say? So I can be politically correct. And God said to me, but Randy, what are you doing at home? And I reminded God that I live in Lancaster County. And he said, you need to check it out, which I did. When I got home, I did that. And the avenue was through the Manheim Central School District because of some people we knew, and realized, we do have a problem here. Wasn't too long after that, my secretary, Brenda Ball, she's my cousin's wife, asked me if I would come and volunteer. And, you know, and coming off of that kind of experience, I said, yes, I'm going to do that. And there was probably 4 months or so till the executive director said, Randy, I'm leaving, and I think you're the guy to do it. I said, yeah, right. Then it ended up that I did take that position then. But anyhow, it's you know, getting that balance and working at home and reaching out to these kids. I think the other thing that really, really struck me, Teen Central, if we go to the Manheim Farm Show Parade, we go through the parade, and we hand out popcorn. So to be. And I remember coming out at Ferdinand Street, between Ferdinand Street and the square, was that full of people. It was spilling out into the streets. And so many kids that it just simply took us all back. How many kids in Mannheim that we're not even touching? That reminds me of what I wanted to tell you then. We are, as the volunteers, and I know this is Sean's heart, and a lot of other people, is we are going to be not only working Teen Central, we're going to be moving out into the streets of Mannheim. We're going to reach as kids. One of my ideas was, is this summer we're going to set up like a table. We're going to give out hot dogs and have literature for kids. Hey, here's Teen Central, so on and so forth. We're going to hit certain parts of town that we do not get at. And we're going to start doing that. The other piece of that is we're going to be changing our hours from Friday night to Thursday night. For this, two things is a volunteer, life changes when I look back over Teen Central was years ago and what it is today. It's a difference of night and day. It just doesn't work the same. And so you get volunteers, and we're all busy, and we're all, and so Friday nights is very hard to get people to come volunteer. And so, and like I talked about, the thing of having these kids, you being there, if you're going to volunteer, you being there, and then you're there constantly, and so... So we're going to switch out Thursday nights because people do things Friday nights. You have your whatever you do. And the end result of that is people that were coming Tuesday nights but can't come Friday nights are now coming Thursday nights. So we're going to catch them both twice a week. And that should attract a lot more. The other piece of that, as we all know, Mannheim's all about football. And Friday nights at football season, what do we have? One or two kids maybe show up? Everybody's at the football game. So I said, we're going to the football game. Teen Central is going to the football game. And we're going to have a presence there. We're not going to have a stand. We're just going to be mingling with the kids. We're going to meet them where they're at. The other piece of this is it's good for kids to come in to the center and hang out. But you know what? We do have kids that are in sports. We do have kids doing other things. And it's so important that we as volunteers get out to their games. And they know that we're there. And that we care about what they do. Very important. And so Teen Central is starting to take another turn in that respect. How that's all going to work out, I'm not quite sure. But we are going to get out on the streets, and I think some of it's going to. I know that we would benefit highly of putting a permanent stand down at Turkey Hill, because they're always going into Turkey Hill buying stuff, So places like that, and so we're seeing the value of going out and meeting these kids where they're hanging out and what they're doing. Interesting thing. We have a very close relationship with Joe Stauffer, the chief of police. He said, Randy, the most vulnerable time for these kids to do drugs is between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 5. Not 7 to 9. It's very interesting. These kids get whoever they get drugs from. We have kids coming in high as a kite. You can tell they're on drugs. But we let them in. We sit down, we talk to them. Whatever they're taking, I'm not quite sure, but they sit there and they're very quiet. They're not wild, but they're very, very quiet. And they eat like crazy. It makes them hungry. And I remember one kid, he's a big dude, and we were doing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I said, because I knew he was high and I knew he was hungry. I said, hey, come on over here to the kitchen. I said, I want to make you a manly peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, the peanut butter is about that thick. And the jelly. And he ate two of them like that. And it was just interesting to watch him, just you know. And then the next time they come in, they're not doing anything, you know. And then they'll interact and they'll talk and stuff. But yeah, so it's that whole problem. And Joe, he keeps us informed on what's going down. He sits down with us as volunteers, talks about this. And if something new comes up, he'll get a hold of us and say, hey, listen, I need to talk to you about this. And it just really keeps us informed on what's going on. And it's just another very, very important piece of that. So, yes.
I can make a comment.
Yeah.
We could have a question and answer.
Yeah.
Thing,
I was ready for that. Yes.
And I heard you say that this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. Very, very much so. Yeah. 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 Thank you for sharing that. I just wanted to say one more thing, and then I'm going to ask, and you can ask questions, okay? The other thing we did in 2015, we remodeled the building. Tremendous work had to be done there. So when we talk money, we need money to offset some of them costs. But anyhow, we do rent Teen Central out for parties, family get-togethers, all that kind of stuff. Rotary meets there, Mannheim Rotary Club, and they sponsored our new audio-video system. We have, that's all there. Basketball games, anything for your kids. We have a state-inspected kitchen that you can use and all that kind of stuff. And it's by donation. So if you ever want to, you need a place to go, even if you want to get together for a meeting or something, hey, give us a call. We can probably come to 15 South Wolf Street. With where is it? You know where the police station is? Good. That's good. It's really good. You know where Zion Lutheran Church is?
I'm not from Mannheim.
Oh, you're not from Mannheim. Oh, okay. It's right behind Zion Lutheran, right behind the cemetery. When you come into town. Yeah, somebody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. So we offer that opportunity to everyone. Now, I'm going to ask questions. Anybody got questions?
When someone volunteers, what's like a minimum commitment time that you see is needed to even start to develop a relationship?
Long term. If you want to develop a relationship with a kid like that, it's going to be a long time. And the thing I think I look at is and I think when you think volunteer, you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to be tied down forever in a week. No, you're not. It's 2 hours a week. I mean, if you only want to do it once a week, that's fine. You can come as many times as you want. But a minimum of like 2 hours a week you spend with them. That's it. If that's how it works for you. Because when you look at volunteers, I can't force you to do something. Volunteer is a volunteer. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. Depends on the level of commitment that you would like to put toward that. That's all. And anything, I'm going to just say this, anything is good. Anything is good. Okay? It's not that you're going to get to this certain level because I did, you know, I do 40 hours a week or whatever. You know, I'm just saying that. No, these kids, if they see faces, they see familiar faces on a constant basis, that's where it's at. Stability. Think of that word, stability. Yes, anybody else?
How many kids are there?
It can vary. Sometimes, I would say an average of 15 to 20 kids. Sometimes, it depends if it's really nice outside or whatever, and then you won't have as many. But yeah, I know we had up to 40 at one time. A little much, but. They're from about 10 years, 10 to 18. 10 to 18. We did fix up a room upstairs, and we call it the upper room. which we are dedicating that toward the older kids, the high school kids, that they can come in and go upstairs and hang out, you know, because they like to talk. They are not really interested in being with the fifth and sixth graders. And so we have food up there, sodas up there. They can just, you know, hang out and talk. And we always have two adults there in the room. And by the way, Teen Central, we put a whole new security system in, so there's no place to hide in Teen Central. Because the kids will do something, they'll lie to you. You know, you see them do it. Oh, I didn't do it. I said, let's go look at the camera. Then they fess up. Because it's that thing has been a very beautiful thing. It has really helped us out. We had a situation where before we put the new system in, and there was an accusation, and it was police investigation, and it all ended up very well then. My board, my wonderful board, said, listen, because we tried to go back on the old system and couldn't get back to the said date that they said it happened at Teen Central. But anyhow, so the whole new system is so fantastic. Just for an example, I come in one day, there's a hole in the wall from a chair. Now, was it intentional or was it an accident? So we can run back on the system and look at it, and I can go frame by frame and saw what happened, and it was accidental. And so it just really gives you, a really, really good true picture of what's going on, and that we do not accuse kids of things that were accidental, you know. But then on the other hand, we can make them responsible if it was a problem. That's the kind of thing we work at. Yeah, and so, yeah, so kids are coming and going, and it really fluctuates. With how that went. Wintertime, you'll have a lot more than you will in the summertime. We have summer hours. Well, we're going to have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 7 to 9. Okay? That's how we're going to do that. Very interesting. You know, we say, well, maybe we should have some programs in the summertime for the kids, right? Let me tell you something very interesting. The kids in Mannheim only get up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're running around all night. They get up at 3 o'clock. Then they go to the pool. This is pretty much how they'll go to the pool, they'll swim, and then they'll come to TC. It's very interesting how that works. Any other questions?
How about genders, Randy?
What's that?
More guys and girls. How about gender?
No, it's pretty even. Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty even a lot of times. You will probably, if you want to, one or more, you'll see more girls than you will boys. But there is a lot of guys coming in because of the males that are volunteering. I have a bunch of younger guys that are volunteering, and they are really getting into these, you know, getting into these kids and these boys and stuff. And so some of the things we're going to do this summer with them, we're going fishing with them, taking them fishing. I had somebody from Mannheim Bick. He has a boat down on the bay, and we're going to take some of them deep sea fishing, or bay fishing, not deep sea fishing, but going out and doing that. And so this is the kind of things we want to do with them. A couple weeks, they're going hiking up on the Appalachian Trail. They're going to go for a few miles on the Appalachian Trail with a bunch of the guys. Then they're going to have a campfire and make food. I'm going to be on that end of it. I'm not walking on the trail, but I'll be down where the food is, you know, when they come back. But then we sit around and just hang out and do that. And the ladies, what are the ladies doing, Rose? They're going, I think they're even taking some of them to the beach this summer. They never went to the beach. They're going to do that kind of, it's just this doing normal life stuff. And they do crafts with them, and they paint their nails, and we got a whole thing at Teen Central, you know, they paint their nails. Then they want to do mine. No. Okay. But yeah, it's just really, really, you know, really good. But it's very, the thing that's really, really cool about them is I'm diabetic. Well, Brenda Ball, who's my secretary, I call her my work wife. She really keeps strict account on me, you know. And talking about the cameras, one day I went in and they were working on the street and Brenda wasn't there. Ah, when Brenda ain't around, then I'll have a cookie, right? Here she was, she had pork somewhere else, and she was upstairs. She heard me come in. I made myself some coffee, and cookie would be good. I went and got a cookie, and I was standing here enjoying this. The phone rang. "This is God," she said. "And are you supposed to be doing that?" I said, "What?" Very funny. She said, "It was very interesting." She said she had my phone on speed dial. She was waiting for me to get the cookie. And I obliged her very nicely. But anyhow, and so it's quite interesting. Then when I'm there, then these kids, "Oh, you can't have that. You're a diabetic." So they do, you know, they do understand to a certain point. Once the adults get into them, you know, discipline and what happens and so on and so forth. So it's just really interesting to watch that. And just a good lesson for me, too. Okay, another question? I can talk to you all day. That's the problem.
Okay.
One thing I do want to say, and I'm going to say this in closing, and thank you for listening to me. This is great. Why support Teen Central? The reason that you support Teen Central or support your town that you're in is this number one thing. You are investing in the future of your children and your grandchildren. And this is why. Because the kids that I work with today are going to be the adults living amongst your families. And what's that going to look like? Very important. Thank you so much for having me. We're delighted to be here. Bless you. Yeah.